Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahanam Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarikaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay, Bhakti Rasamrita, no, this is Bhagavad Sandarbha, Adhyayana 2, Adhikarna 1, description of the form of Bhagavan, page 33. The four Shaktis are Dharma, Jnana, Aishwarya, and Vairagya. These are described in Padma Purana, Adharma, etc. 9, are not material. The Shaktis, Adharma, Jnana, Aishwarya, Adharma, Ajnana, Avairagya, and Aishwarya are situated in the east, south, west, and north directions. Right? So it says they're not material. Means that these are Shaktis, Krishna's Shaktis, that are beyond the material world, that they control all these things. So it's just like if you have day, you have night. So they're both spiritual. Right? Like this. But the living entities, if they come under the control of these, they act in the material. Because the point is these Shaktis are all in connection with the Lord. But the living entity under the control of these, they act not under the control of the Lord. Yes?
Like make sure that devil is not separate from God. This makes sure that devil is not separate from God.
Yes, yes. There's no such thing as that. It's the devil's under the control of the Lord. So that's the point that comes up, is that what people aren't considering is karma, right? Because in the Western thought, that'll be based on, you know, what was basically officially allowed by Christianity or not, right? Because if you were dealing in a philosophy that wasn't approved by Christianity in Western Europe, then generally, you know, you had very few options. You know, you could be banished if somehow or another you could get away in time, or, you know, you are somehow or another big enough to warrant that as long as you completely disappeared, they never heard from you again. Otherwise, then they had a whole other plethora of options, you know, burning at the stake, you know, like this, drawing and quartering. Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, those ones, they were very, how you say, inventive.
Convincing options.
Yes, and so therefore, up to 300 AD, you had the concept of karma and reincarnation. But because they were finding that people took it. Oh, okay, so we have next life, so I'll get serious next life. So to avoid that, rather than preaching more strongly or this or that, they just removed it from the doctrine that there is no next life. This is the only life you have. So therefore, the whole concept of karma disappears. So they can't explain why, you know, people are born in different positions. Why is someone born rich, someone born poor? How is that fair? Someone's born into a good family, so naturally they're good. So what credit do they get? Right? And someone born into a bad family that's sinful, then they go to hell. What did they do wrong? You know what I'm saying? That's the whole thing. It means they're doing wrong, but why specifically them? So it doesn't explain just basic fundamentals of human existence and the workings of the material world. So because of that, then they have great difficulty. So anyone who's a little bit more logical in that, then they take up this, what to say, the new agnosticism. You know, it's like that. It's not that, you know, God is there, but they don't really like the religious systems that are discussing or presenting God, because they have no answers. Does that make sense? So therefore they have to have that is going wrong. So there has to be somebody separate from God that is on the same platform as God. Right? He's controlling this material world. God, being God, should be able to control it. But somehow or another, he's unable to. So as they remove these things, then basically they end up becoming offensive to the Lord. You know, it's just the way it is with any of these. All these agnostic, they'll accept that there's God, but they don't really give him the powers of God. Say he's the creator, he's maintainer, destroyer, he's the judge, he's the witness. But then how is it this other person is functioning without their control? Right? These modern philosophies. Does that make sense? So it's just because it's not according to the philosophy, the actual reality. So they come up with these weird things. So that's what happens in all these, is that there's something they don't like about the philosophy. So they remove that. But in removing that, it has a chain reaction. So then so many other things that work so nicely, now they can't explain. So they have to come up with weird, weird stuff to explain it. And for someone in that modes, they're okay with that. But someone else, then they don't buy it. So that's the difficulty, is that if conditioned living entities try to make up religion, it's always going to be faulty. That's why we always follow the eternal. Right? So these Shaktis are there. So this Ajnana Shakti, you know, the Ajnana Shakti, Adharma Shakti, these are already there. But everybody being under the control of the internal potency, no one is distracted by them. No one takes advantage of them. Because they only come into play when you don't connect things to Krishna. Right? Because dharma is, the sad-dharma of the soul is serving Krishna. Right? Bhakti. So now, if you're not serving the Lord in bhakti, that's where you become adharmic. Then you're under ajnana shakti. Right? You're aishwari because you're trying to enjoy the ajnana. Then you that goes away. The vairagya, now you're attached to the secondary. So it just means now you come under the control of these. This is before you're in the material world. So you're already conditioned before you get to the material world. So that's why it said that, and that's on the eternal platform. Right? You're in the spiritual world. There's no time. That's why when it said, when does the living entity become conditioned, or that, it's anadi. It doesn't have a time. So this thing of anadi means he's always been like that, that's also foolish. Right? Because we know the soul by nature. If you're going to be tatasta, that means you can't have been conditioned. Right? Otherwise, then, if they're saying, okay, no, anadi means that they've always been conditioned, now they're dealing in the tattvavadi philosophy. So they're in the same line, but they're not Gaudiyas. Right? Does that make sense? You know, so you get all these fun things. As soon as, if you don't follow in the footsteps of the Acharyas, then there's always a problem. That's why we're very careful. It's what they say, that's what we do. If we don't understand it, then that's our weakness. How we'll understand it? Because it's revealed. That means it's only revealed if there's faith. So if something we don't understand, so we lose faith, that means we'll never understand it. But if we don't understand it, we have faith, then by the devotional process and getting purified, then we'll be able to understand it with time. When the Lord, you know, reveals. But if it's a matter of, no, it doesn't make sense to my intelligence, but you're working under the Ajnana Shakti, so it doesn't matter how good your logic is, the answer will always be faulty. Even if mechanically it's correct, it's still wrong. Just like, let's say, you know, the teenage boys, they get a hold of their father's, you know, fancy car and take it out for a little bit of a spin. Right? Now, they drive very carefully, you know, the clutch and how they use the gear shift and, you know, the turning, and when, you know, the car starts to, you know, slide, then they, you know, turn into the corner. And, you know, they're having a great time like that. You know, they're going through the corners at the speed that you're supposed to be on the highway, but they're on the back roads. And so, technically, they're doing mechanically everything correct if you're considering that you're racing. But are they on a racetrack? No. So no matter how perfect their driving is, they're wrong. Does that make sense? So that's material consciousness. Does that make sense? So the point is it's always under God's always control. That's the point of Vyasadeva Samadhi. He sees the material energy is completely under the control of the Lord. And we'll say, oh, but then all these bad things, how does God allow that? It's not that God allows it, it's that it's what we want. We can say, well, I don't want these bad things. No, but if you do bad stuff, you get bad results. The two go together. You know, it's just like, you want to be lazy, it's your choice. And you enjoy being lazy until it's time for dinner. And then you're hungry. Right? So there are consequences. So it's your choice. So our idea is, no, I'll be lazy and I'll have a full dinner. That's not going to work. Right? Unless your mommy's there. Does that make sense? So that's the whole difficulty, is that we don't want to take any responsibility. Somehow or another, it's all God's in control, it's all hidden. I'm just sitting back and, you know, supposed to enjoy. Does that make sense? So that's the difficulty. So these are all there before, as I mentioned, they're situated in the different directions. East, south, west, and north directions. They're all there. And so they're at a bit of a distance. Right? So you have Dharma, Jnana, Aishwarya, and Vairagya right there, and Adharma, Ajnana, Anaishwarya, and Avairagya, that, you know, just outside of that. But they're Krishna's energies. That's how the living entity can come under that control. Otherwise, what has the power to bring them under ignorance? The soul is as brilliant as the sun. So what's there? It has to be the Lord's energies. But that's because that's what they're interested in. They want to deal with the Lord's energies without the Lord. And since all the energies are in the service of the Lord, therefore, are they going to be comfortable? No. Adharma, Ajnana, Anaishwarya, and Avairagya, they'll deal with it.
The jiva, the Tattvic position, does not have any understanding about what is dharma or dharma, nyan, adnyan, that he makes this kind of a choice.
Okay, so now you want to bring out the, so okay, so now you're how you say, the defense is bringing up the point that. But our client was not properly informed in that. It's just like on the coffee cup. It doesn't say, this is boiling hot, and if you spill it on your lap, you will get burnt. Right? So is that our argument now? I mean, it works in America. You can sue companies for that and make money, but, you know, that's in America. In Europe, they won't allow it at all. They just don't allow it. You know?
But if somebody brings up that argument,
then this would be my comment. So you're bringing up this one, is you have no responsibility. So the whole point is everybody's dealing with the Lord. So you can see the living entities that are serving the Lord. Right? But you're not interested. So the same way as you can look across the Viraja at the material energy, and then you're interested. So it's your choice. Okay. Yes.
Srila Prabhupada said that Maya is just a lack of Krishna consciousness, as darkness is a lack of sunlight.
Yes.
But here we can see that Avyana Shakti and Adharma Shakti, it's not a lack of Jnana Shakti.
It's a lack of Jnana is Ajnana.
But it's something.
It's just like night is a lack of light, but there still has to be a potency that functions when there's no light. Otherwise, there'd be void. So if there's Jnana, there's no Ajnana. It's not that they sit there and fight. You know, hey, this is my guy. What are you doing? You know.
They're not friends. Huh? They're not friends.
I'm sure they're friends. But they stayed a little bit at distance. Like Maya said, she's embarrassed. She stands at a distance. Does that make sense? The potency has to be there, otherwise there's voidness. But what we're pointing out is that darkness is a lack of light, so as soon as you bring light, there is no darkness. But still, there has to be a potency of darkness. But it's not that it's two equal things. See, when you're using the material consciousness, then you're going to get that they have to be equal. Or it's void. So either way, it's not right. Does that make sense? So that's the difficulty that comes up, is that God's not in control. He created the material world and lost control, or, you know, how does he lose control? You know, I mean, it's like he's this whole universe and this one planet he can't control. You know, or it's like he created it and the whole thing got spiraled at us out of hand. But then if he can't handle it, how can the devil handle it? Right? So if he's handling it, then that means then he's more powerful than God. You know what I'm saying? So that's the problem, is these philosophies, you come up with, oh, maybe it's this, but it just makes more and more problem. You know, it's like the tar baby. You know, you punch the tar baby and then your hand gets stuck. So then you hit him with the other hand and that's stuck. So then you kick him and then that foot's stuck. Then you kick him with the other foot and that's stuck. You know, I would avoid at this point headbutting. That's all it is that as you go away from the Lord, it just gets worse. So it's not that they've improved on it, it just gets worse. So you can see is that all these other agnostic systems, then they've, by their philosophy, it gets worse. But then when they get more clever, like the Mayavadis, then it even gets more worse. So they can't take up devotional service. Because any of the basis of devotional service, the personal, like, you know, how are we inspired? God cares for you. He's a person. You're a person. Like that. You know, there's activity. So therefore, you have senses. It's not a matter of stopping the senses. It's engaging them in the Lord's service. But for the Mayavadis, there is no personal God. There is no us as person. We don't even exist. The senses are Maya. Engagement of anything is all Maya. So on what basis can they appreciate devotional service? Other than it's spiritual, it'll take you out of the material world. But it means that there's action, and they have no action. So they're totally lost. So you see, even all the other ones were saved, the Mayavadis still were not. It means they open the storehouse of the love of Godhead. Everybody becomes drowned in that, except for the, you know, the, what do you call it, the Pashandis, the blasphemers, the you know, all these ones, then they go specifically after them. Even they become drowned in this ocean. All that's left is the Mayavadis. Okay. So it's really it's not good. So,
yeah. Yes. I get the impression that just sentiment for God is not enough unless we embrace all the details. The
it's not all the details, but it means that we embrace that surrender and detail according to our individual position that we're able to apply. Right? A simple person, a few things, then they'll keep them engaged. The more sophisticated needs a broader range. You know, whether they're working more in karma or jnana. Does that make sense? Or in their karma, how simple that is, or in their jnana, how simple it is. So it's also the sophistication of the person, you know, whether it's karma or jnana. So that's why the Vedic system gives this wide range to allow for that.
Still, even this word, surrender, is misinterpreted in different ways. Sometimes.
Well, generally, surrender means it's a managerial consideration. So surrender to God means surrender to the person who's telling you to surrender. That's the general case how it's used. And if the person is coming in the parampara and giving you activities that are recommended, that's fine. And if it's not, then they create. But the point is even you surrender in the sentiment that you're surrendering to Krishna, and the activities that you're being engaged in aren't as ideal, you'll still get the benefit. Any wrongdoing will go to the person who's engaging you. Does that make sense? So it's a very good system. You can still advance despite.
Tonight, yesterday, you were saying that these four Shakti, like Dharma, Jnana, they are like the Shakti of Yuva, right?
Yes, it means Dharma will be Vasudev, Jnana, Sankarshan, Aishwarya, Prajumna, and Vairagya, Aniruddha.
Which means these Shakti are the person? Or
the Shaktis are people also. But I'm saying these are Shaktis of those four. So depending upon what kind of yoga pit you're sitting in, whether you're going to have the Chaturvyuha there, but in any case, these energies are there, because they're all Krishna's energies. Mm-hmm. Then they may be more prominently taken. All the formal energies you see are generally more formally manifest in connection with the Vishnumurtis. You know, so with Mahanarayan and the expansions, then you'll generally see these more. Mm-hmm. With Krishna, they're there, because it's just, he is the source of all energies.
Mm-hmm.
But you may not see them being a major player in the process.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? When you're dealing with Krishna, then the Samvit, Santini, Ladini, they're the prominent. So everything goes back to these three. So from there, then you'll also get the Jnana will be in the Santini, the Aishwarya will be with Samvit, and the Vairagya will be part of Ladini. You know, but these are just farther extensions.
Yes.
Right. I mean, see, you can't taste the goal of Krishna consciousness if you're attached to the material world, so there must be that Vairagya. You know what I'm saying? And then Aishwarya means, devotional service means engaging what you have in the Lord's service. Right? And then Sambandha, you understand your relationship with the Lord, who you are, how everything connects to Krishna, that's your Jnana. So putting together this Jnana, Aishwarya, and Vairagya, practically applying it, that's going to be your Dharma. So that would be Satdharma. Yeah, so these are then how they go. This will be, yeah, the explanation according to Kalyana Gunas. Okay. Because along, yeah, so, yes. Some relationship between these four shaktis and the purusha that I can't say at this point. Yeah, because if you do Dharma, you have Aishwarya, you have Jnana, you'll be Vairagya. So they're all connected. You know, how everything moves. Okay. Dharma Jnana Tataishwarya Vairagyai Pada Vigrahai Rig Yaju Samatarvana Ruper Nitya Vritam Kramad. The place is surrounded by the Dharma Jnana, Aishwarya, and Vairagya. And the personifications of the Rig, Yajra, Samana, Tarva, Vedas, Padma, Purana. Okay. So then there'll all be some connection between those as they go out. The word tata in the middle of the compound, starting with Dharma Jnana, is poetic license. The 16 Shaktis are those starting with Chanda. Chandadi Dvara Palais, 2. Kumuda Yai Surakshita. The place is protected by Chanda and other doorkeepers.
Place we mean
here, Goloka? Kumuda and others. You'll see this specifically manifest with the Vaikuntha planets. That's where you see this formal aspect of the yogi. Like for us, it's more about, here it's about the Shaktis and all that. They're all personified, but it's about their position as those Shaktis. And then what role they play in the Lord's, you know, majesty, how he creates, maintains, destroys, how he does everything. But you see, in for Krishna, these energies are all there in their places. But we'll generally put them, we're going to deal with the persons and their pastimes with the Lord. Does that make sense? So it's those persons, they have those energies, so that as you go out and it formalizes, then they take on the nature of that formal Shakti. You know, it's just like in the Rasa dance, then you have the four gates. Right? So then in those four gates, you're going to have the, what do you call it? You're going to have the different personalities, like I say, Lalita's at one gate, Vrinda's at another gate, like this. So that means all these Shaktis are there in the nature of that person, in Lalita, Vrinda, like this, whoever's at the gates. I think Purnamasi, maybe like this, Vrinda. So these energies are connected to them. But we're not worried about those energies in their personified form. We're worried about the persons who those energies are part of. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, it's just like, let's say, we have so many ingredients for cooking. And these ingredients, this does this, that does that, all these different things. And so on that level, then, you know, it's important to know all that and you understand. And you can gain a lot from that. But there's the other aspect is where the preparation is together. Already there, it has all these elements in it, but it's about the taste of that preparation, not about the individual ingredients it's made of. Does that make sense? So that's where the taste comes in, that's where the sweetness comes in. And majesty, as it gets more like Vaikuntha, the sweetness is less. It's, of course, it's connected to Krishna. There will be some sweetness, but it won't have the sweetness of Braj, because the sweetness is its majesty, and then within that, because it's the Lord, there'll be an aspect of sweetness. You know, the beauty is still there, everything is still there. But the ingredients, then it makes it more. There's a difference. Yeah. On the eastern gate are Chanda and Prachanda. At the southern gate are Bhadra and Subhadra. At the western gate are Jaya and Vijaya. At the northern gate are Datta and Vidatta. In the splendid city, Kumuda, Kumaksha, Pundarika, Vamana, Shankhu, Karna, Svarna, Sar, Vanetra, Sumukha, and Supratishta are situated in the other directions. Padma Purana. 6, 2, 28, 13 through 15. How
many?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Just aside from Jaya, there were
ladies.
No. Shaktis and doorkeepers
different.
Yeah, mentions the doorkeepers in the previous verse.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's the Shaktis in this way. Then are we see the doorkeepers. They're protecting the whole place. It's not that there won't be necessarily a feminine form also, but in this way, then they're protecting everything. Okay. The pairs starting with Kumuda are doorkeepers in the ordinal directions, south, southeast, etc. Okay, so then there's two in each corner.
Yes.
So that means, so Kumuda and Kumudaksha will be in the southeast. Then Pundarika and Vamana will be in the southwest. Shankhukarna and Sarvanetra will be in the northwest. And Sumukha and Supratishta will be in the northeast. So you have two in the cardinal directions. And then two in each of the corners. So that way you get the 16. Like that. So when they give the order, you have to know it works like this. It doesn't work going around.
Yes.
Because in the Vedic thing, generally you're talking about it. Like Rupa Goswami, when you're doing the directions and that, then worshiping, you have the east, and then next to that. Then the south, then next to that. Then the west next to that, north and next to that. So it always is going clockwise from that. So does that make sense? So east, then its secondary form is the southeast.
Mm-hmm.
right? Those go together. So then when it gives the 16, depending on if, you know, they'll give the 16, but then they'll go through and show the cardinal directions, and then they'll show the ones next to that.
So you always clockwise?
Yes. Why would you want to go counterclockwise? No?
It's always starting by east.
Yes, you always start in the east. So whatever you're doing, you always start with the east.
What is the reason?
Because the east is where the sun comes up. Yeah, important.
In the Orthodox tradition, they circumambulate the temple opposite clockwise.
Who?
Orthodox Christians.
Yeah. Can't get everything right.
You like know. You said, why would you want to?
Yeah. What to do? Yeah, you always got to get something backwards. So sometimes it's like that because it probably, if they go clockwise, then it might put them to sleep. They go counterclockwise, it'll keep them awake. So. You know, it's like when you do something you're not supposed to do, it gives you, there's some energy there.
That's why they do it at night.
Yeah, you know, so there's it's just like in you have Vastu, and then you have the, what's the Chinese one called? Feng Shui. So I think there's six different schools. One of them basically is the same as Vastu, but I don't think that's the one that's well known. But the other schools. So let's say you have a river or something, and it's curving, right? There's a corner. So Vastu, you'd want to be on the inside, right? But in Feng Shui, you want to be on the outside, right? Because in Vastu, you're trying to establish goodness and avoid passion and ignorance, right? But because there's too much energy in that, right? So it's just like if you have a curved street, what's on the outside will get those gets too much energy, and so then. So in Vastu, you won't want to be on that outside. But because you're trying to establish goodness, you're trying to avoid the passion and ignorance. But when you're dealing with Feng Shui, you're dealing with people who are basically in ignorance. So a little bit of passion is actually a step up for them. It's more auspicious for them. So that's why it may be confusing between them. But it just depends who it's for. You know what I'm saying? So that's why if it agrees with, fine. But if it's the opposite, you have to know why it's doing that. You know, because I'm sure there's certain things they just don't do. You know, but generally you'll see if it'll throw in passion, Feng Shui will do it. Because it's valued. But in the Vedic, it's not valued, so it won't be like that. Maybe in Maya Mata, in Maya Dhanava, there might be some element of passion they might appreciate. But it'll generally be in the sense of enjoyment rather than so. Kurmas cha nagarajas cha vanateyas trayishvara chandamsi sarva mantras cha pita rupatvam astita. Kurma, Ananta, Garuda, who is the Lord of the Vedas, as well as the Vedic meters and all the mantras are situated as the form of the Pita. Padma Purana 6.2.2.8.4. So that means they are situated as a form of where the Lord sits, because you have the Yog Pit means the basis of that. Then they'll be holding that up. Right, because Kurma then holds up, but his potency comes from Ananta. Garuda is the Lord of the Vedas, right? Because he flaps his wings. The sound of that flap is Samaveda. Right?
So this is a five Shakti.
Sorry?
This Kurma and Ananta Garuda, they are part of the five Shakti.
Which Shakti?
Five Shakti.
Shakti.
Is it five shaktis?
It is, because it mentions
only
before the shloka.
Must be. Unless that's that Oh, yeah. So it should be the five shakyas of these. That's a separate thing than the one above. The one's a shloka, then it's his comments. Then he's saying the five shakyas of these.
And what is the relation with four that we have seen?
No, they're in the directions. These are in the peat. They're in the seat.
Ah, yes.
It means the Lord is sitting.
Yes. Yes.
That also has, you know, like the sun, moon, and fire are there, and you know all these things are there. Then you have these are in the directions, protecting the directions around.
Yes.
Like that. So two different groups. Mm-hmm. Traishwara Vedas modifies Vainateya Garuda, since he is composed of the Vedic meters. Right? So Garuda is composed of the Vedic meters. And then he says, and you have all the mantras. So Korma, Ananta, Garuda, 3, who is the Lord of the Vedas, as well as the Vedic meters, 4, and all the mantras, 5.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right? So that means everything the Lord does is situated on this. Right? Yes. It means this Garuda is his personal carrier. Krishna always follows, is always, you know, his actions and all that are described by the Vedas, and he always acts according to the Vedas. You know, it's just like you do something you find fun,
yes.
Right? And so then you make the rules of the game.
Yes, yes.
And so that becomes what everybody else follows.
Yes.
It's still your rules. So you can say, well, why would he follow the rules? Because he made the rules. He made the rules according to what he likes. So why wouldn't he follow them? Okay. Though Padma Purana calls this place the Parama Vyoma, Narayana is Vaikuntha, it is similar to Krishna's yoga peak, since the similarity is well known from agamas. Right? It'll be the same thing, it's just that the emphasis on what's there. Krishna also has 16 shaktis. The shaktis such as Lumbini will be explained in Krishna Sandarbha, Anucheda 183, taking statements from Prabhashakanda of the Skanda Purana, footnote 10. Lumbini, Chandrika, Kanta, Kurura, Shanta, Mahodaya, Vishani, Nandini, Shoka, Vimala, Akshaya, Shubhadra, Shobana, Punya, Hamsa, Sita, and Malini. So these are all, so that'll be the 16, that'll be the form in Krishna's place. Same energies, but there'll be a slightly different flavor, because you're dealing with Krishna. So it'll be a different flavor, just like Radharani, then is one flavor. Then as she expands as Rukmini, that would be a different flavor. Then she expands as Mahalakshmi, that'll be another flavor. You know, or Lalita, and then you'll get, you know, Anbu Devi, or Vishaka and Nila. So there'll be different flavors. It's the same Shakti, but it's just extended. They're swamsas. Like that. You know, it means they're not manifesting the full potency. Means Rukmini doesn't manifest the potency that Radharani does. That's why they only come up to that place of Anubhava.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get to Mahabhava, the queens.
Yes.
The gopis, all the queens get to Mahabhava, but only the first stage. Only Radharani's group gets to the second stage, and only she's on the third.
Mm-hmm.
So there's differences. And then Lakshmi, we see there, she's very attracted by Krishna's pastimes, because she is Vishnu's wife, so she can't give up that identity. Right? Otherwise she's not Lakshmi. Right? And so therefore she can't enter into the Rasa Leela. Because you can't have that identity to be in that Rasa Leela. But it doesn't matter, because in her original form, she is in the Rasa Leela.
Yes.
But the point is that's being made is Krishna is so attractive, he attracts all the expansions. Right? So the Vishnu Tattva expansions are servant of Krishna, and all the Shaktis are all. So, the Lord was endowed with his powers arising from his Sarup, Svaihi, as well as other temporary powers found in yogis. Brahma saw the Lord, Ishwaram, not dependent on anyone, enjoying in Vaikuntha, Taman, which arose from his Sarup, Sva. Srila Prabhupada explains in purport to Srimad Bhagavatam 2.9.17 the following. Right, this is where you'd have the Udhriti.
Udhriti.
Udhriti. Yeah. You just put that word there and then follow up by Srila Prabhupada explains. Just, so nothing changes, we just put that there. Does that make sense? The Lord is naturally endowed with his six opulences. Specifically, he is the richest. He is the most powerful. He is the most famous. He is the most beautiful. He is the greatest in knowledge. And he is the greatest renouncer as well. And for his material creative energies, he is served by four, namely the principles of Prakriti, Purusha, Mahatattva, and Ego. Right, so plenty of lists like that. He is also served by the 16, namely the five elements, earth, water, fire, and sky. No, earth, water, air, fire, and sky. The five perceptive sense organs, eye, ear, nose, tongue, and skin. The five working sense organs, the hand, the leg, the stomach, the evacuation outlet, and the genitals, and the mind. The five includes the sense objects, namely form, taste, smell, sound, and touch. So when you say the earth, water, fire, air, ether, it already includes those. All these 25 items serve the Lord in the material creation, and all of them are personally present to serve the Lord. The insignificant opulences numbering 8, the astasiddhis, insignificant, attained by yogis for temporary overlordship, are also under his control. But he is naturally full with all such powers without any effort. Right? The yogi has to work really hard. Mm. And it's not that once he gets them, they're there eternally. He gets according to his austerity, and then they last. And as he uses them, they're used. You know, it's like getting some credit. As you buy things, your credit gets less. Mm. Right. So he has to endeavor. It means if he does something, then he has to go back to his meditation and all that. You know. So you're able to enjoy yourself, but then you have to go back to such great austerities to maintain it. But Krishna, without any effort, he has all these cities. And these are minor, so it's not even that special. Right? Yeah. And therefore, he is the Supreme Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.9.17 purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains in his commentary, Srimad Bhagavatam 2.9.17, the following. The four can also refer to Prakriti, Purusha, Mahatattva, and Ahankara. Prakriti, Purusha, Mahatattva. The 16 can refer to the 10 senses with the mind and the 5 gross elements. The 5 can refer to the 5 tanmatras. Srila Swami gives this explanation, which is acceptable. Right? Because then you put that, you have the 10, because in that way the gross elements include the tanmatras. Right? When you say the mind, it includes also the intelligence, the false ego, and the polluted consciousness. So in that way, then you see Prabhupada mentioned, then he said the 25. Because just as he's showing that these 5 contain the others, then also the mind contains those the other 3. So in that way, you have 16 plus the 8 that are already contained. So that's why it just depends on how you're putting it together. So, you know, like that. So you get 24, you can get 21, right? Because the intelligence, false ego, and polluted consciousness are within the mind. You get the 16, like here. Sometimes then they say the 9, you know, or the 7, because they think it's like the Prakriti and the, what do you call it? Mahatattva, and then the 5 gross elements. Like that. And then everything's made from that. Because then it all has that. Because then when you're dealing with Mahatattva, that will then have the 3 forms of ego. Right? And the form of ego and goodness will create the mind, and passion will create intelligence, and ignorance will create the false ego. Right? Does that make sense? And then so like that everything comes out.
Yes.
So yeah.
So Maharaj can say that everything is a Shakti of Krishna.
Yes.
And after it is a question to different perspective to count.
Yes, how you want to put it together. You know, it's just like let's say we're making a vegetable, right? We're going to be using salt. Now let's say we're making sweets. You know, generally speaking, we wouldn't use salt unless it's salted caramel or something, or certain things. They'll put some salt in, but it's small, like that. But then let's say it's talking about, let's say we're frying something, right? Deep frying some kind of snacks, Okay, so we'll see in the snacks, the salt plays more of a role. You can put more salt.
Yes.
And that strong taste of salt in that is good.
Yes.
In the sabji, you know, it'll be balanced, and it's a regular amount. But in the sweet, it'll also be balanced, but it's a less amount.
Yes.
But you see salts in all three of them.
Yes.
So then you can say, but which list is salt in?
Yes.
It works in all of them. So that's why you'll see is that there's overlaps in these lists. It just depends on what you're bringing out. You're just bringing out the whole material world in its simplest form. It's made out of the five gross elements. And it has pradhan, because as the source of everything. And it has mahatattva, which means that how it's being manifest so that you can appreciate it. Does that make sense? And so that's enough to describe the material creation. But if you want to get more technical, then you start separating out the senses. Because that's how you're going to interact with these five. So the different lists, that's why you'll see is that there'll be overlaps many times in the lists. It just depends which angle it's vichar, which angle you're looking at it. So it's not, it has to be this or it has to be that. No, there's these different angles. And you even see sometimes the list given, they're bringing out a different aspect. So even though it's the same list, but they may use a different name because they're bringing out a different aspect.
Yes.
You know, so it's like with Krishna, the 16 energies are described, but they have different names. Because they'll function in one way in Krishna's pastime, and there'll be some more of a formal thing in Mahavaikuntha. Yes?
In 11th canto, Krishna says that all these lists,
right,
they are spoken by the sages under the protection of my energy, so they cannot possibly say anything wrong.
Yes. So, yes, just just like you see is the sages, that with the Vedic mantras, each mantra or each group of mantras, they have a sage. So that means that sage became perfect by meditating on those mantras and what they're meaning. And that way they became, you know, came to some, you know, self-realization. So these different, it's all about Krishna. But you may be a different aspect of Krishna. Like someone, it's his sweetness that overwhelms their Krishna consciousness. Someone else, it may be his compassion. Someone else, it may be his beauty. Someone else, it may be his interaction with the devotees. Someone, you know, like that. So, and none of them are wrong. So that's why the importance of a Chintaveda Tattva. Because then we can discuss these fine things and appreciate them. And we don't have a difference between the different areas. Like, we don't have a problem here with Mahavaikuntha and Krishna Loka, or in Braj. Does that make sense? We won't have a difference. But others won't go that far. They'll just go up to their point, Mahavaikuntha, and stop there. So in other things like that, they say, but this is different. No, no, it just means this. Which it does. But they don't get the benefit of that angle that the other is describing. Well, for us, any of the angles work, but because it's about Krishna and Braj, it's not about the opulences, we'll generally prefer the ones that are the more sweet or the more practical. Like that. Does that make sense? Yeah, but it doesn't mean that the knowledge behind it we're not comfortable with. It's just that it's not the technicality that's important to us. Is how it applies in devotional service. So unless it applies in the Abhideya. So unless it helps us understand our position so we can apply ourselves in serving Krishna, then those angles aren't important for us. Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, it's just like, let's say, for the Brahma Gayatri, then we'll see how it's Krishna and his energy. Right? But let's say for the Tantrics, they take the 24 syllables and break it down into the whole material world. So how all the different parts of the material world are made from this Brahma Gayatri. Does that make sense? So the heavenly planets are this, you know, the Antariksha, that, and then, you know, this species comes from here, that activity, all these things. So the whole universe can be described according to the 24 syllables. So that will be important to them, because all they deal is with the material energy. Being Shaktas, that's all the farther they get. But for us, is how that Shakti is important, the internal potency, and how that's serving Krishna. That's more important to us. Not that the other isn't there, mm-hmm. but it's just that's not as important. And when will we use it? If you can use it, great. It's not a problem. We don't have a problem using it. So if there's in one thing and you're having a problem connecting one thing to Krishna, then yes, then from there you can see is that this is coming from there. So you're engaging this one aspect, so why not this other? So then there's no problem. So, but otherwise it's not a main focus for us. So much of the time you see we have the simpler forms because it works. The point is the principle always works. And as long as we can apply that principle always, then we're good. And so a few details, and it works for us. But if we find that we're attached to some particular technical area of the material world, then you extend the technical points of the philosophy down to it. It's just like, let's say you're on a boat and someone's out in the water. How far do you throw the rope? To reach them. That's the point. But if you're dealing with technicals, we need to put, many meters, or we only need this much. Or, you understand? So the principle is just the rope should get to the person. But someone else may be, that's this, and so we have to use this, and so that one uses this. It doesn't matter. So if you're going to get the rope to the person, you know that this spool is shorter and that spool is longer. So if they're farther out, you're going to use the longer spool. You don't have to get into a technical thing. Right? But people who are technical, we can't use this one, we have to use this one, because this one only has this much rope, and this person is at this much, so the other one has that much rope, so it's enough. You go through all those steps to just throw the rope. Well, the other person just is, this person is close, you use this one, and that one's farther, you use that one. So that's the whole point, is that it's not that we don't use the technical, it's just that if you're based on the principle, you only have to define it as much as needs to be able to use it. Otherwise, it's, no, don't use that one, this one's longer. Oh, okay. You know what I'm saying? But then someone else has to be told, well, what is longer? How do you define longer? They're out there at, this much space, does this happen? You have to go through this whole thing. Does that make sense? So that's the point. It's not, our acharyas know all these technical points. It's just that you don't need to discuss it on that level unless it's necessary. Because it's already discussed on a higher level. The higher understanding is already there. So that's the thing that we're from the ascending process, we're used to whatever knowledge I get in the beginning, then that's basic. And then as I develop, it becomes more and more sophisticated. Right? And so in this way, it's better. But in the Vedic, it starts from the top. It's the most sophisticated because it has all the elements together in one place. So you need more sophistication. Then as it comes down, you break it down into the mechanics. It's less sophisticated. The ability to hold all those technical points together, that takes more sophistication. So what Prabhupada's given us in the beginning, it has that sophistication. It's all put together, and it uses words that we can understand. Yes. Right? Yes. And so it's there. So sometimes, we have to be careful not to make the mistake. Oh, the acharyas are using the technical, so they're giving a more sophisticated understanding. Not at all. Mm-hmm. Never.
This is common, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's standard issue. Unfortunately, it was issued before you joined. because you're still under that problem. So the more someone's into speculation before joining, the more they'll have that problem, or the more they identify with that, the more problem they'll have with that. Because those who are, speculation is not important to them, they won't have a problem with it. They may get confused, but they won't have a problem with it. But the others are thinking, oh, it's more technical, therefore it's better. No, it's just, it's just like you get in the car and you push on the pedal on the right side. It makes the car go quicker. So if you want to go faster, you push on that. If you don't, you don't push on it. Right? And the one on the left, that's your brake. You push on that, the car slows down. Right? That's how much you, now you can go that pedal is pushing, it's got a hinge there, and then behind that it has a particular piston that's there that you push on, and there's a certain resistance of that piston and how much and how quick, so it might be very light or that. From that, then it goes to something else, and then eventually it gets up to your carburetor. Right? But you don't need to know any of that to make it work. But if you're into technical points and like that, then you are going to talk about the whole thing. You're not going to talk about pushing it because you don't push it. You don't drive.
Yes.
Right? Your taste is the mechanics of the car. It's just like people can sit in, these automotive factories as designers. And all these different things in that, and they never drive the car. Someone else is testing it and all that, people who know how to drive. You just know that, this is connected to that and all this, this is whole chain and all that, and that's all. And for you is, okay, we need 10 steps here, but by this, then we can do it in 7, so then that's greater, we save on this and that, and so they're in ecstasy. Like that, but as far as the other guy goes, he pushes on the pedal. If it works, then it's good, and if he pushes and it's not, then there's a problem. But yeah, no, but it's better. It only takes 7 steps. Yeah, but it's harder to use. So
they're called bench racers, kind of like armchair philosophers.
Okay, bench racers.
Yeah, the ones that talk about online how they've built the perfect engine, but they've never driven.
Oh. Bench races. Okay. That's cool. Bench races.
From the computer game?
No, people.
Just mechanics. You just think about how you can do, because there's the things, because you have the piston and then how many valves you put. Mm-hmm. How they're working, exactly angles that they're opening at. If it opens a little earlier, you get a little bit more. If it opens a little later, do all these different things. And so that means the cam, how it's working. And then you have these things that are variable, so they can vary it and then make it go like this. And so they'll get an ecstasy over this. But like you said, that doesn't mean they can drive it.
And they crunch the numbers and they tell you how much. It's theoretical horsepower, stuff like that, but they've never driven. So.
Yeah, so they wouldn't. And probably if you put them in the seat next to a driver and that, they would freak out.
They sure would.
Yeah, so. So that's what happens. Then we start talking all these things, then this guy, no, how can that be? No, they just, because the point is it's overwhelming. The acharyas, if they do go technical, they will overwhelm anybody.
Yes.
And the reason it's not able to be caught, because it's not just logic, they're bringing in the line of devotion, how devotion works. Mm-hmm. That's why even they get technical, you still can't understand it. Because unless there's that devotional, that bhakti sukriti, you can't understand. If you think it's no, by my logic I'll understand, you can't. You might understand some logicians, Shankara or something like that, it'll make sense. That's why in the West they always use Shankara. Because it's totally mundane, so they can relate to it. Mm-hmm. Right? And it's not really based on the culture. You don't have much talk of culture. Mm-hmm. But like with Jaimini and the others, there'll be more of the element of culture. So they don't use those. They'll only use Shankara. And definitely the Vaishnava Acharyas, then it's devotion and the whole culture and all that. And so it's way beyond their academic ability. Sorry to say, they won't agree at all, but that's the fact. It's more complicated than they can accommodate. Right? So that's the problem. And then you have on top of that the problem of the devotion. Śrīdhara Swāmī gives us that explanation, which is acceptable. In this case, even Māyā, along with Mahātattva and other elements, remain there, offering devotion to the Lord. This can be explained by the fact that the spiritual world, composed of the Supa Shakti of the Lord, is the shelter of all Shaktis, including the material Shaktis. Right. So the Supa Shakti is all the Shaktis. She's the shelter of all the Shaktis. And so then even the material ones find their shelter there, because these material Shaktis, they're serving Krishna.
Yes.
Right? The creator of the universe, Brahma, filled with joy on seeing the Lord, with hair standing on end and tears in his eyes, offered respects to the feet of the Lord, which are attained by the path of bhakti, Srimad Bhagavatam 2.9.18. This verse shows that the Lord is full of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. The Lord, overjoyed, filled with prema for Brahma, touched Brahma with his hand because of his love for him, with words lit by a slight smile, spoke to Brahma, who was filled with prema on seeing the Lord, and who was worthy of following the Purusha's command for creating the universe, Srimad Bhagavatam 2.9.19. The Lord spoke to Brahma, who had prema for the Lord, and was qualified to follow the order, Shasanarhanam, of the Purusha, who is Krishna's amsha, nija, for creating progeny. Then, here, okay. Quote, the Purusha can give mercy to Brahma, but since Bhagavan is superior to the Purusha, he has no relation to material creation. Brahma should relate to the agent for material creation. End quote. But Bhagavan is very affectionate to his devotee. He spoke to Brahma, from whom he had great prema, priya, since he is controlled by prema, priyaha. Footnote 11. For this verse, Srimad Bhagavatam 2.9.19, Srila Prabhupada translates priya as the beloved, and priyam as the counterpart of love. Brahma was overjoyed with prema, priyam, priyamanam, and the Lord was extremely pleased, priya manaha, manaha. The Lord's great joy is indicated by the Lord's actions. He smiled slightly and touched Brahma's hand. That Brahma was a worshipper of Krishna is shown in the state from Gopal Tapani Upanishad. Okay, so basically you're saying that Purusha is giving mercy and Bhagavan is superior. Mm-hmm. So Bhagavan doesn't have a relation, he's not related with the creation. Mm-hmm. So then the point being here is, then why wouldn't Brahma then relate to the Purusha and not to Bhagavan? Mm-hmm. Right? Does that make sense? Because Krishna is expanded as the Purusha. And so he would just relate to him on that level. So why all the prema and everything like that? You know, it's like he's the engineer, he's qualified, he's the Lord, mm-hmm. and all that. So it'd be more of a formal kind of thing. But we can see here is that it's not formal. It's based on this affection between the two. See, even here, Prabhupada, beloved and the counterpart of love. You know, so you have the Vishai and the Ashray. Mm-hmm. Right? And so that aspect is bringing out in connection with Krishna. Mm-hmm. So you basically, it's Krishna who's come is the Purusha. So that's, that. You know what I'm saying? So he's dealing here. But in this pastime, we see it's Krishna and Braja, and Brahma's interacting with him. Mm-hmm. But, you know, why is he interacting with Krishna when he's Brahma to just interact with the Purusha? You know what I'm saying? So these kind of questions could come up. Mm-hmm. Right? And we'll see in some places where he's dealing with one, then why are you talking here when it's there? You know, but it's just like Krishna and Shaligram and Tulsi. Mm-hmm. Like that. But the point is it's Krishna. But he's in the form of Shaligram. Just as Vrinda is in the form of the Tulsi tree.
Yes.
Like that. Yes. So depending on what level, you can see it on this level, because it is happening here. Mm-hmm. You know, like I'm sure the Vaikuntha Wallas, then they'll see is that the Lord is, that they're dealing with Mahanarayan here. Mm-hmm. They won't see Krishna as such. This is an expansion. Mm-hmm. So for them, it still works, because they're dealing with the Purusha. Mm-hmm. You know, or even the question there, the source of the Purusha, Shankarshana, or Mahavasudev, he's the source of the Purusha. And so therefore then he's dealing. You know, so they'll take it up to whatever level that they can accommodate. Does this make sense?
Yes.
Yeah?
So now you can say that Krishna has a free will.
Yes. He has the free will, he does what he likes, and it's depending on the devotee. So that's why it's said is that the devotee, means like the gopis, they just see Krishna's energy. and they see it all as non-different from him, so it reminds them of him. Mm-hmm. So they're looking at anything, they'll remember Braja Krishna. Mm-hmm. But some will say, oh, that technical knowledge, that's this gyan. We're only interested in Braja Krishna. Mm-hmm. But the gopis use that knowledge to remember Braja Krishna. And here the person is saying, oh, we are not interested in that, we're only interested in Braja Krishna. But where's the remembrance of Braja Krishna in that statement? So in other words, you have to go through steps. Well, for the gopis, it's just immediate. Like that. So then, who's better situated? Who knows more? So that's the whole thing, is these are things that are just, on the spontaneous platform, are just natural and direct. And if we're not on the platform of Vaidhi, then yes, it takes some steps and everything like that. But the point is, as long as we get there, that's great. But when the acharyas are recommending something, we shouldn't be saying from... It means we've heard from the acharyas about raga and vaidhi. And so when the acharyas are recommending something, we shouldn't say, oh, that's vaidhi.
Yes.
Like that. Unless they're saying, this is vaidhi.
Yes. Yes.
You know? And at the same time, as they point out that the raga bhakta... externally, he follows Vaidhi more nicely than someone who's on the platform of Vaidhi. You know, so, you know, we have to be very careful to what, because it's personal, therefore there's all these contradictions, seeming contradictions. You know, just like we were saying, is that the Sanchari Bhavas, or what is the other one?
Vyabhichari
Bhavas. So one of them means the contradictory flavor to whatever. So there's a mood there, there's affection, let's say attraction for Krishna, and so that's the main anubhava that's happening. But at the same time, there's, which is a vyabhichari bhava that's there, that will be that they'll be not ignoring Krishna, right? Does that make sense? And then Krishna will say something, and then that vyabhichari bhava will go, and then it'll come up anger. And then they'll chastise Krishna. But the whole underlying anubhava is attraction. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing, is these opposites, they're personal. So that's the problem. If we put too much emphasis on this logic and all, it's impersonal. We use it, but we can never take it that this is the authority. So that's the fun part, is we're taking, oh no, but we're more academic, we're more intellectual, so we're better. No, you're not. You're actually getting farther away. Because even though the impersonalists are situated higher in level of consciousness, they're actually farther away from Krishna. You know what I'm saying? Because from karma, you just have to connect it to Krishna, and then you're right there. But because the impersonalists can't connect karma to karma, they can't use it, they may be closer to Krishna, but their back's to Krishna. So it has to be very, very careful. It has to know what you're working with. You have to know the tools. That's why the analytical aspect. But, because the analytical aspect used by the acharyas is always in the context of pure devotion, it doesn't make sense to us. Well, if it was in the context of karma or jnana, it makes sense. So it's only by devotion we get purified, then this all starts, it doesn't have that problem. Is that...
Regarding the point that you mentioned right now about the gopis who connect everything to Krishna directly, so and we take steps to connect. So is it that at the level of praying this is possible, and below praying level then we need to literally use the jnana yoga to connect and go to Krishna?
No, the point is from praying, from bhava, then this would be naturally applied. Yeah. Brahma Samhita says, evam sarvatma sambandham nabhyam padmam harer abhut tatra brahma bhavad bhuyas chaturvedi chatur mukaha. A lotus appeared in the navel of the Lord for the mass of jivas. In that lotus, Hiranyagarbha Brahma appeared, and then the Brahma with four mouths in the Vedas. And so we see is that the lotus itself. It holds all the jivas, and it holds, and it is also that in that lotus Hiranya Brahma appeared. Means that whole potency of the universal form of Hiranyagarbha, meaning Garbhodakshay Vishnu. Right? Because he's there. Means Garbhodakshay Vishnu is there. It's from his navel that the lotus is growing. But it's the aspect of the universal form is there. So the jivas are there, the universal form is there. So universal form means it's everything that there is in creation. You know, the people, the bodies, the mindsets, the modes that are there, the different situations, the different, you know, locales, planetary systems, everything is all part of that. Right? That, and then from that, then he says, then the Brahma with four mouths and the four Vedas. Then he appeared. Because he's sitting on top of it. The lotus is Hiranyagarbha with the jivas. Mm-hmm. That's why it says that. And this Hiranyagarbha is Virag. Or Virat. Like that. So it's half male, half female. Because you have the masculine aspects of the you know, the creation. And you have the feminine aspects. So it's like you have the column and you have the Shakti that holds things up. So that's the male and female aspects. Plus you also have the male and female, genders.
Yes.
You know, so all that's there. So he's born from there. So then, so yeah. So the thousand-headed Vishnu is his father. Because that's Hiranyagarbha Brahma.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, Brahma, after appearing, inspired by the energy of the Lord, developed the desire to create the worlds under the influence of his previous impressions. But he saw only darkness and nothing else in all directions. A divine voice then spoke to him directly and gave him the dear mantra composed of the Kama Bija, the words Krishnaya Govinda Gopijana Vallabha, and the syllable dear to fire, Swaha. Brahma Samhita 5:22-24. So then he gets this, and by that, now he can, with that meditation, now he can understand. Then you'll see later, then he gets initiated. So this is his Upanayana. Sukadeva Goswami speaks this verse.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki Jai Nitai Gaura Prema.